Jody and I did, if you're not doing this already, but write down quotes that your kids say and laugh about them afterwards. A lot of good things, man, that kid come out of kids' mouths. My all-time favorite, and I hope this doesn't embarrass Jody, but I know her. She's used to me embarrassing her all the time. I don't think it will. But we're driving in the truck, and all the kids are in the truck, and trying to think, the youngest maybe was a year. So we were done at that point. No more kids. We were four in the truck. And Cole leans forward. He's sitting kind of behind Jody. He's like, he's at my oldest. He goes, hey, can I ask you a question? And I'm driving. I'm like, sure. Like, he was all serious. And he's like, hey, Mom, when are you going to get them boobs with that milk comes out again? I was like, Jody, write that down. Quick. It's pretty funny. Anyways, let's talk about discipline. General philosophy of discipline. Why are we to discipline? Did we get that on tape? That would be great. One of my girls came home the other day saying that her teacher was teaching her her class, and it was like, you should not spank your kids. It is wrong to spank your kids. This is horrific. You should never do this. And our daughter comes home and sits down with Jody and was like, Mommy, my teacher said we shouldn't spank our kids, and I agree with her. So Jody told me, and so I spanked her. No, I didn't actually. We had a great conversation, though, and set her straight. And the whole time, it was funny because our oldest son, he's like, I'm glad you spanked us. And he was encouraging that aspect and saying, Hallie, you're so wrong. Your teacher's trying to mess you up. And it was really funny. So we just said, okay, cool, keep talking. And it was really cool. But there are definitely other ways of discipline. But looking through Scripture, it is the majority of the time physical. You have kings disobeying God and going to worship other gods and breaking out in leprosy, right? That's physical discipline from God himself. And wouldn't that be cool, though? Like, if your kid, like, hey, sweetie, can you go clean your room? I know it's a little dirty. No. Leprosy, right? I'm not sure if that would be a good thing or not, but I think that was kind of funny if that would happen. But some of the verses that I've come across, or and some maybe that you've seen as well, is Proverbs 13:24. It says, whoever spares the rod hates his son. That's a strong word. If you do not spank your child, if you do not physically discipline your child, you hate your son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Discipline there, we'll get into actually what the term means in Hebrew. But here's some more. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. What does that mean? Put him to death if you do not discipline. It means that if you lack in diligence in this area, and you will actually raise a child that will be disrespectful towards you and God. This then leads to death. Therefore, discipline so he/she has a clear understanding of wrong and right, and by God's grace will accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. In 1 Samuel 3:10-14, I know Norm spoke on this, I think a few years ago in 1 Samuel, but if you go back to the archives, you can hear the sermon. But in 1 Samuel 3:10-14, it's God calling out to Samuel and says, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. He did nothing. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. God hates unrepentant sin and a father's lack of discipline. Eli's sons lived this life and their whole family paid for it because it was never dealt with. Proverbs 22:15. I don't have these on here, but Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. The heart of folly. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. The word discipline means chastise, or in Hebrew, yasair, which means whip, flog, or spank. It means spank your children. So every time you heard the word discipline there, it was talking about spanking your child. This is how God designed it to work. If remember, I talked about what our society, our culture, is, it's not working. God's society, he gave us a clear idea of how we are to govern our kids, how we are to live life through Scripture. And in Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why does this work? Because children are not smart. All right, they need instruction. You buy them toys and they play with the box. All right, you have poison chemicals and they have, please do not leave to close to children. Because why? Because they'll drink it, right? They're not smart. There is an arrogance that they can't see past. Children are born with a bent to rebel. They're just going to rebel. They're little sinners, right? Therefore, there must be discipline. We must teach them. So here are eight ideals. I'm not sure eight ideals would be the right word, but more guidelines for discipline. Have rules of engagement, number one. Have rules of engagement. Little sub point in there is 1A. What is the form of discipline that you will use? You can talk about this as you sit and wait and begin to have children, as maybe some of the discipline that you're using now may not be working. So what is the form of discipline that you will use? Different occasions require different discipline. Like, don't spank your child for not eating their food. Probably not a great reason to spank your kid. But don't give your child a timeout when he, she disrespects you. That deserves discipline. That deserves a spank. If there's disrespecting. B, subpoint 1B, when does discipline start? The one-week-old probably should get away with some crying that the two-year-old should not get away with. My son received his first slaps on the hand when he was 8 months old. Didn't spank his butt. He had too much padding with the diaper there, so I slapped his hand. Another reason was because he was only 8 months old, and he needed to realize the thing that he was touching was wrong. And Jody and I, we were living at the time in this small little basement suite, probably about the size of this area. So we were just around the kids always, and Cole was the only one at the time. He's 8 months old. And Jody was in the kitchen around the corner, and we didn't want to have a house that we just tied everything down and hid everything. We wanted to be like open and free. Kids are around. We didn't want to lock everything up, all the breakables and whatnot. So we just said, you know what? We're going to treat our kids as they're little adults, and we're going to teach them what's right and wrong to touch. And so Cole, 8 months, started climbing up on the furniture and kind of shuffling along the sides. You guys have all seen this, his parents. And he stood right by the stereo, which was my knee height, which is his face height. And he's looking at the stereo, and he sees the stereo, and the stereo just goes, bam, pokes the stereo. And I'm sitting right there because it's a small little basement suite. And I grabbed his hand, slapped his hand. And he looks at me, looks back at the stereo. And I looked at him after I slapped his hand, and I was like, Cole, no. And I put his hand back on the table so he wouldn't wipe out. And he looks at me, looks back at the stereo, bam, hits it again. So I grab the same hand, slap it again. No. Put his hand back on the counter, watching him, looks at me, looks back at the stereo, bam, hits it again. Grab his hand again, smacked it again. Cole, no. Put his hand back, looks at me, looks at it again. about 7 or 8 times this goes on. His hand now is getting pretty red. And Jody yells from the kitchen, I remember this, "What is going on out there?" And I go, "Don't worry, I'm just going to win a battle here." And that's what it's all about, winning the battle. So your kid, the stubbornness, because they're little sinners, right? And so he finally, about 7th time, I slap his hand, I say, "No." Instead of grabbing hold, he just, and it'd break my back. You know the kids, they go from feet to butt? That would hurt so much for me if I did that. Anyways, but he goes feet to butt and just sits there and just starts crying. And so I pick him up and sit him on my knee and I go, "Cole, you do not touch the stereo. That is daddy's. That is not a toy." And he's crying. I console him. I kiss him. I see him. I tell him I love him. I put him down and he stops crying. And Cole has not touched the stereo to this day. Right? It's awesome. I'm just kidding. He loves the stereo. But but he didn't touch it again in his childhood. Never touched it. So he learned the lesson. But you have to be consistent in that. And we'll get to that point eventually. But what about in public areas? Have rules of engagement in public areas. Let me say this. Not many children under 1.5 have temper tantrums. Not many kids do after 1.5. So when in public, there needs to be an understanding already in that child that that is unacceptable. So in public, there can be a squeeze of the arm and look in the face and say, "No, this does not happen here." And you're serious, and that squeeze can be pretty hefty. And you can look them in the eyes and say, "No." And if it continues, that's disobedience to you. That's straight up disobedience to you. So you find a bathroom and you take them in there and you can give them a spank. If it continues, do this. Find that bathroom and give them a spank. We need to be the parent. We need to teach our kids what is appropriate as a young person. Screaming because they don't want to be there or they didn't get a cookie is not acceptable. I've seen a kid in a grocery store, like on his side, spinning in circles in the middle of the aisle. And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Like, why don't we see teenagers doing that?" Because it's unacceptable. Same as a young kid. They know what's right and wrong. It's you got to teach it to them. You got to win those battles, like on the stereo. You got to be consistent in that. other things, like for us, we used a flick all the time. So Jody and I, we didn't really like screaming. We couldn't handle it in our house. We were like, it just drives it. It's like nails on the chalkboard for us. And so we both were like that when we were just started having kids. "Hey, do you like screaming?" "No, hate it." "Me too." "All right. What are we going to do?" "Oh, we're going to flick the mouth." "Good idea. That's awesome." And so we, started, kids, they find their voice getting close to 1 year old. They start screaming, right? Just out of the blue. And so anytime we were around, they scream, bam, flick them in the lips, right where they're screaming from. And so they kind of get shocked. It wouldn't be like full power, knock them over behind, but it would just be a little bit of a shocker. And they look at us like, "What was that all about?" Right? And they're kind of bobbly because their head's bigger than their body. And they're like, "Oh, okay, I guess I shouldn't do that again." But then they try again and bam, do it again. And it's really funny, another funny quote story, but Elle was like, well, I don't think it was Elle, but it was Brayley maybe, I can't remember.
It was Hallie and Cole was
talking. Was it? Okay. So Hallie's in the car seat, like newborn car seat. And she's like, like making baby sounds. And Cole's in the car looking at her going, "Hey, Mom, you want me to flick her?" Like he knew the rule. He's like, "You don't scream in this house." And we're like, "Buddy, that's a baby sound. Get used to it." All right. So you got to know what you're doing too. And your kids will remind you. You got to be serious on that stuff. So another point under one, having rules of engagement. Who at home will discipline? We tend to lean on the one that catches the sin, does the punishing. And this probably lasts till about 5 years, or it really depends on your kids. For us, it was usually about 5 years old. when kids started going, you know, Mom, your spanks don't hurt. Okay, well, Dad's going to do it. No, Dad's going to do it now. So as kids get older and both parents are at home, though, as a father, it's your responsibility. This is manhood, biblical manhood. Your responsibility to raise your children. So when two parents are home and there is disrespect, Dad, get off the couch, discipline your kid. That's what a biblical man does. And this also gives the children the picture of leadership and authority that Dad should hold. So when Dad is at work and kids are defiant to Mom, which is a punishable crime that deserves spanking, I have no problem having them sit out until Dad comes home to deliver that punishment in love. And we're going to talk about that. That's one of the points there. Number point six, very important point. 1E, where will it take place? People have different thoughts on this. If I spank them in their room, they'll never play in their room. They won't like their room. Well, it's maybe how you're doing it. Maybe you're thinking of what spanking looks like is wrong. And that again goes to point six of disciplining in love. They won't ever like, so if you spank, discipline in love, any room is fine. But my biggest encouragement to you guys is don't humiliate them. Don't humiliate your kids. Don't spank them in front of other people. That's just a humiliation to them. Take them away and take them into privacy of a room, which is good. Kids sometimes do need discipline instantaneously. But as you are consistent in those things, they'll understand. Just a look at them will give them an idea of, wow, that was wrong. Oops. So another thing for us, we started doing sign language. Not sure if you guys have looked into that as well. Baby signs is really cool. Kids start learning to talk really early on in infancy when you start doing sign language. And so that really helped us a lot when we were in church, because our kids, they start acting up a little bit. I just flick them in the top of the head. Flicking is awesome. All right. Flick them in the top of the head. They look up and I say, this is no. And so it's like, I just look at them, no. And one time at church, we had friends behind, or people behind us, not friends, people behind us, and all of our kids are lined up in the seats, and people are after church, kind of lean over, is like, how are your kids staying so still? I was like, oh, we just flick them. It's like, it's consistent. Just consistency in child rearing is what the answer is, right? Just consistency. Kids learn how to behave. So you are the parent, like I said before, and you need to be on top of that stuff. So that's going into point number two, is being consistent. Kids need consistency. Children not only need set guidelines, but you as parents do as well. You need set guidelines. So if there are no consistent boundaries, you will find yourself unsure of when you should discipline. Be careful what you say. That's a huge one. Be careful what you say. If you're out and your kids misbehave and you say, you better stop or we're going home, but you really don't want to go home and your kids are still misbehaving, you better go home. Careful of what you say. So be consistent in that as well. Do what you say. Your children will test you in this. I've heard of a mom tell their kids, they better stop or I'm going to throw you out the window. Like, seriously, stop it. And the kids are like, all right, let's keep going. Fight a little more. And the mom grabbed them, dropped them out the window. It was only about a foot drop, but it was still like, I'm doing what I say. All right. So it was one of those things. So then the kids know they're not joking. Just the other day, we live in this small little basement right now, and Cole's like running around, beating on all the girls all at one time, just bugging them. And Jody was having a bad day, seeing the body language, and he's, okay, we got to shut this thing down. All right, Cole, that's enough, buddy. No more. And you keep bugging your sisters, I'm throwing you in the shower. Like, it wasn't doing, like, silly stuff, like discipline as a spank, needing spank, but it was just like, you need to slow down, all right? So he's like, I'm going to throw you in the shower. And he's like, oh. He thought about it for a while. It was about 5 minutes, and he started bugging his sisters again. So I just calmly got up off my chair. He didn't even see it coming. He's just kind of bugging his sisters. I just grabbed them, chucked them in the shower, turned on the shower, and I was looking at him in the shower curtain. I was like, how you doing? He's like, I'm soaked. Get me out of here. I was like, you going to stop bugging your sisters? Yeah, Dad. Yeah. I was like, if you don't, you're going through a lot of wardrobe tonight. He's like, okay. And so I got him out of the shower. He's like, don't get out of the shower. Here, I'll get you a towel. And we just had a fun time with it. But you do what you say. Right? Do what you say. And that was actually fun, throwing your kid in the shower. but you have fun with that kind of stuff too. So he knows it is not my fault when there's discipline. Your son or daughter, you know it's not your fault, but his. They broke the command. Therefore, the punishment needed to take place. If your kids call your bluff, you will lose the battle. Be consistent. Don't bluff. Say what you mean. The absolute worst is the countdown. All right? Don't do the countdown. If you're going to do the countdown, be consistent in it. That's the hugest thing. If you're going to do the countdown, when you get to three, that's the end of it. I've heard a mom at a park get to three about eight times. Don't do the countdown. It's embarrassing. When we were camping one time, this dad was looking after the kid. I'm like running around playing tag with the kids on the playground. And this dad's standing down on the bark mulch and yelling at his kid, come on, let's go, come on. One, two. He got up to 10, and I was like, oh my goodness. And then he stopped, and then he tried it again. And the kid's like, literally jumping away from his arm. Like now he's stopped counting. Now he's trying to tackle the kid out of the playground. His kid's like running away from him. And finally he's got him kind of cornered, but he can't reach him. And I'm standing like right there just going, what? Just like shaking my head like, dude, you got bigger issues than this. And he goes, hey, just come down. I'll give you some candy. I was like, oh, dude, you just lost the battle 80 times. And that was the worst thing to say. And as he said that, I'm looking at, and my kids now are like, this is like TV. Like, they're watching this thing go down because they're like, and then he says this, like, I'll give you candy if you come. Then my kids' eyes are like this. They look at the guy, they look at me, they look at the kid. They're just... what is going to happen now? And they're like, Dad, oh, he would spank it. Oh, and they're just all over the place. And then we decided to go back to our campsite, and my kids are just, I go, hey guys, did you see that, what went down there? And they're like, yeah, that wasn't very nice of that boy. And what do you think about the dad's response there? Yeah, that wasn't very smart. So they understood that as well when you're consistent in your stuff, so... if you're going to do the countdown, which I've done it a couple times, but it's a fast count. It's never 2.5, never 2.75. It's like, okay, we're going. Dad, can we stay a little bit longer? Yeah, sure, you got 5 minutes. 5 minutes up. Okay, we're going now. Let's go. Come on, can we stay like 5 minutes? I'm going to get to three, and if you're not beside me, there's trouble. One, two, and they're like jumping off the stuff, like trying to get down as fast as they can. And I just start walking. And they're like little ducklings because they know when if I get to three, there's going to be some issue at home that they're going to have to deal with because of disobedience. They know to fall in line. All right. So if you're going to do the countdown, make sure it's very consistent. And make sure it's a good reason as well, a good reason to do that. So, but just try and avoid that stuff. Number three, be a team. What I mean by this, you and your wife, be a team. Never battle each other over the rules of engagement in front of your child. Never do that. They will see the disagreement and side with one of you, therefore causing rift between you next time something goes down the line. Kids are sneaky little sinners, if I haven't said that already. All right, they will try and break you up. I say this in our marriage class going through. God has created two to become one. And when kids enter, they want to wedge in between you and break you up. All right? So you need to remember that. That's huge. Application. If mom says there's a spank coming, then even though you might disagree with the reason for the spank, give them a spank. so often our kids are trying to break Jody and I up, and I just call it like it is. Just call it instantly what it is and what they're doing to it. They might say, like, Mom said it was okay. And I'll say, okay, that's great. You guys know that Mom and I are a team. So I'm going to go. You guys, this is a no right now. So you guys are going to just hang out here. I'm going to go talk to Mom, my wife, and we're going to decide what actually goes down. If it's a yeah, then you guys are good to go. But then I get down their face and I say, but don't ever try to break my wife up and me, my wife and I up. And then I go, ooh, that's not just Mom, that's your wife. This is serious. So call it like it is. This gives you freedom, as well as to be in a team. This gives you freedom to discuss. It gives you freedom to take some time making a decision. Say, maybe, okay, maybe. Let me go talk to my wife, or let me go talk to my husband, and we're going to discuss what we need to do here. Kids don't need instant gratification. They can wait. For your kids to see that, and then also it gives your kids, actually, when you're a team, it gives your kids a great picture of marriage, two becoming one, and it is good. All right, number four is be age appropriate. Be age appropriate. 1 week old should not be getting spanked for crying when you tell it not to. All right, they're 1 week old. All right, they're going to cry. A child over the age of 12 should probably have a different discipline than physical. Child at over the age of 12 should probably have a different discipline than physical. I remember my brother and I. My brother at this time was 12. Same size as my mom, and I'm 10, just a little bit shorter. And we were scrapping in the kitchen, and my mom's like, that's it, getting a spank. And we went over to the table where we get spanks, and my brother leans over the table and just kind of sits there. And my mom gives him, I'm watching this, and he's like always been about times me plus like a one. He's always way bigger than I was. And she whacks him. She had this metal ruler, or this wood ruler with a little metal trim on it. And so she whacked him, and he just looks over his shoulder and starts laughing. And I'm going like this, oh, crap, I'm next, right? I'm starting to freak out, but she just looks at him, and she started laughing too. And I'm like, whew, does that mean I'm I was safe from that, but she realized, she played it really smart. She realized that, you know what, this is probably too late. We need to figure out another discipline for you boys. You guys are getting too big. And so she played it smart. I think she did a very wise thing there. This gives you, age appropriate. So spanking a child that's over 12 probably will also cause more riff than do good. You may need to get creative in that. So what I mean by riff is you may cause, like, humiliation, kind of bring down different, might be emotional then with him. let me say this on age-appropriate stuff. If you have been consistent, spanks usually slow down after the age of 5. Like with our kids, we've been very consistent from a very early age, like I said, 8 months. And we've been consistent through that. I could probably count on one hand how many times I've spanked Cole after the age of 5. Before the age of 5, I would need all of your hands. All right. It happens a lot because there's a lot of rules to be learned before that age 5. So these kids are new to the world. They need to learn about these rules. So it's going to occur a lot of times. But that's why it's so important to know and to have rules of engagement. What deserves a spank? All right, to know those things. Number 5, be child specific. Jody and I, just from personal experience, probably have a family dynamic where we can probably speak with authority on this point. Our family is very diverse. Our son, you've heard many stories of him already. He's a very brilliant boy. And he's a boy, so we've got a guy in our house that is becoming a man. And then our second daughter grew up in a very different culture, and I can unpack that a little more, but I don't have time. Because of her environment between her brother and her next sibling. The next sibling was born with Down syndrome, so we've got that environment of special needs. It brings a different dynamic of what discipline may look like. And then our youngest is 4 right now, so she really has benefited from being the youngest by seeing all the rules played out with her older siblings. So she probably has been spanked the least out of it all. Plus, probably the factor of there's just so much going on that she just probably gets away with some things that we would have been right on top of Cole because he's the only one there. Right? So it makes sense, right? So the more kids you have, the more you got to be on top of things in that stuff. So because some things that are serious that do need to discipline, area action may get slipped behind. So going back and talking about it, teaching through verbally as they get older is always key as well. So being child specific, we have tried all forms of discipline from sitting in the corner, eating your dinner for breakfast if they're not eating fast enough, hot sauce in the mouth, soap in the mouth, spit in the mouth. Just kidding. That'd be pretty nasty, right? You run. That'd be terrible. Problem is, soap doesn't bother them that much. And kids, you got to realize that kids are good actors. Kids are good actors. I remember getting soap in my mouth, and I was like, ah! And then I go in my room, I was like, ah, that was not bad. Right? It was like, well, kids are good actors, so you got to be aware of that. Hot sauce in the mouth, it's a good idea, but some kids like hot sauce. All right? Plus, really bad thing goes for you if they're allergic to it for some odd reason, there's an allergic reaction, and then you're taken to the hospital and you're apologizing the whole time for your discipline, all right, as they blow up. So know your child and discipline accordingly. Sending your child to their room might be a highlight for them, so being aware of that. Being aware of eating their dinner for breakfast might not be that bad. We've done that with our kids because some of them are really slow eaters, and now they're sometimes they'll ask for it. Hey, can I just eat this for breakfast? No. And so that's not working anymore, right? Because then they're asking for it. So you got to be aware. It might morph into different things as well. If they're really social, this worked for our son for a little while, but turning his chair and just directly looking at the wall, and you can't look at anything else and eat your dinner. Because he's really social. You always wanted to be in everybody's conversation, and he was just being annoying. So it's like, you got to sit in the corner and eat your food. And so that works for a time, but usually going back to our dynamic, spanking worked for every single one of them. Spanking worked every single one of them. And that brings me to disciplining in love. Number 6, I've heard all the different ways of discipline, from timeouts to holding your breath. The one fail-safe is physical pain through spanking. I understand that there are psychologists that believe when you spank your child, you scar them for life, and they will hate your hand, or the wooden spoon that you use, or the room. But you got to remember, these are the same psychologists that said little boys, when they're circumcised, will be scarred for life if you do that to them. I remember hearing this, that they said this, and 2 years later that they said, actually, we made some wrong studies, and they're okay. It was like, interesting. So, yes, scarring can take place if you're spanking out of anger, frustration. So if you're angry and you spank your kids, it's wrong. If you're frustrated and you're in this frustration state and you're spanking your kid, it's wrong. Or if you're in this mentality of, I just need to teach him this lesson mentality, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not love then. All discipline must be rooted in love. Hebrews 12, 6 through 9. Not sure if I have it on there. Nope. Hebrews 12, 6 through 9 says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises. Remember, discipline and chastise means spank, physical harm, every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons if you get discipline. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are, this is a huge statement, if you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had all earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? See, discipline is not a hatred thing, but something to draw your child to Jesus. You need to share with your child how much you love him, that you are disciplining them so they don't fall away from Jesus, that their actions are against Jesus, that this is not something you want to do, but something that has to take place because of what they have done. There has to be punishment for the actions that they have committed. Discipline is hard, there's no doubt. I've cried many a tear disciplining and spanking my kids. Then I look them in the eyes after I discipline them, pull them up on my knee and hug them. And I tell them I love them, that I forgive them, and I kiss them, and we walk out of the room together. And we seek after that. I have them seek repentance and reconciliation with whoever they sinned against. So now they need to recognize their sin and they need to seek that forgiveness. So yeah, discipline is good. It's a teaching of the gospel. Number 7. Discipline is forward thinking. There should be a desire that when your kids grow up, there will be a deep-rooted relationship that has been built over time. It means you apologize when you are wrong. And this happens more often than not. Right? And you know what? Don't think you're being weak when you apologize to your kids. They need that example as well. Fathers, your number one goal, as I said already, is to bring your wife to a deeper love of Jesus than she has for you. And your number two goal is to bring your kids to love Jesus more than you. This is your charge. It's forward thinking. It's thinking legacy. And that's the last one. Know that discipline cultivates legacy. Discipline helps the child see that their world is larger than their backyard. What I mean by that is it means that the things that they have done wrong against their sibling or against you affects more than just you. It actually is a sin against God. Proverbs 3:11 through 12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." Let me close with this last proverb, 22:6. "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." This creates legacy. They'll not depart from the discipline that you give them, and they'll love Jesus. A wise man once said, "You will not know if you are a good parent until your kids' kids raise their family. At that point, you will know if your training in righteousness was passed on." Let me pray for you and your families. We've got about 10 minutes, and I'd like, if you have any questions or whatever may have brought up in this last 2 hours, I'd love to have Jody come up with me as my team member, and she can help field some questions if you have any. So let me just pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for loving us. I thank you for the again, the kids that are represented, the families that are represented in this room. And I pray for their continued love for you. I pray that, again, that the kids will fall deeply in love with you, will become the men and women of God that you have created them to be, and that they will bring many more people and share the amazing free gift of Jesus Christ with many people in their lives. And I pray for wisdom and discernment and wisdom or in discipline as parents, and that we will continue to raise godly-centered children, that you will help us through your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you have any questions, please. Kind of mic. Do we need the mic, Ben, for the question kind of stuff, or just fine with that? We can share. Well, I've also got this book I was going to show you guys this too, for family devotion stuff. You can get this down the States only. It may be in Canada, in different areas, but been flipping through this great family devotional book for kids and families just sitting around the dinner table. It takes you through a Bible story and then a couple questions that you can ask your kids. But yeah, if you want to check it out, I brought it here for you guys can look through and peruse, but you can't take it. So, but do you have any questions for Jordan and me?
Do I have to go like this to talk?
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Question over here.
You were talking earlier about all the different types of Bibles you're showing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Superheroes Bible is really cool. What about the devotions that are more kid-centered, like their own devotions, and you know, like we make a time to do that as a family, but it's not so much you're not just reading from the Bible and then you know discuss necessarily, but it's you know it'd be like a story, and then it's like you know how about you know what would you do, and it's more opposing to the child, but it seems as though they're structured in a way that the kid is to read it themselves, and then you know, as parents, maybe, but we do it all together. And, like, what are your thoughts on that? Or have you tried those? Have you kind of had experience with those kind of more similar to like what an adult would have as their own devotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, read some scripture with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think just to repeat your question, so people listening can. To hear the question, but it's of doing devotions and different questions along doing the devotions time, like to engage in the conversation of the text.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. I think it's doing devotions like you do small group. If you're involved in a small group, Norm has printed off different questions that go on the text that he preaches, and then engaging in those conversations about the truths of Scripture. So there's always truths in Scripture that you can pull out of the text that you may be studying over the story, and diving deep as mom and dad into that story so you can find the application in that, and then really showing and pointing out that truth, whether it be a promise of God, whether it be instruction or a command to us. Those things are always great to pull out. Do you have anything?
I was just going to say, we have tried like the... you know, more like a devotion book style thing, I think, before, like, years ago, before we started getting our kids into their own Bibles. The problem I had with that is we have kids of all different ages, and to sit around the table and engage turned into an exercise of frustration because we've got one kid that's wanting to dialogue and the other one's, you know, trying to finish eating still or whatever, and we found it a bit difficult having children of different ages. The other part of it, and why I think part of why we moved away from that as well to just getting our kids into their own Bibles where they're at, we're kind of graduating them from, you know, us reading them a story to them being able, like Elle's Bible, she doesn't understand everything she's reading right now, but she can actually read it herself. And then Hallie's as well, she can read the summary kind of stories in the superhero Bible and understand that on her own, to where Cole's at, where he's doing his own Devo time in his Bible. So as a family, I think we have discussions around scripture and the message or whatever, what they're learning in their Bible stories, just as a part of family conversation without having something to guide us. And more, I think we're kind of focusing on just getting our kids to read their own Bibles every day and kind of getting them to the level where they're getting to do it on their own.
So let them be the guide as opposed to a book telling you how to... Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bible, we're just kind of going through the Bible. We're not going through, like, a devotional book.
Yeah, like, it's usually, like, a story, like, you know, Sally came home from school and she was upset because blah, 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 someone at school picked on her or whatever, you know, something like that. And then it's like, but then there'll be scripture to back it up and how God helps you in those situations. You know, it's well-structured, but at the same time, yeah, it feels like, you know, the book's doing the thinking and you're just kind of, you know, you're just reading it, right?
It's, yeah.
They're not bad.
Yes.
My question is kind of for Jody, like when you're at home with the kids, especially when they're younger, how did you find strength in I find with Levi, I don't spank him hard enough, so it's just like, that's interesting, now I'm going to try to spank you, Mom, you know, like,
yeah.
He's not getting it, so I'm just wondering.
I think like the point that Jer made about us learning as parents too is really important to take home, and so I think you learn from that, and you don't go, oh, okay, I don't think I'm very good at spanking. More maybe just change what you're doing, or, you know, like, find out what's going to work. So if you're slapping on his hand, like, there's a graduation, right? So first we slapped our kids on their hands, then that became ineffective, then it moved to their butts. And then that wasn't as effective. So then it's the bear bum. So I think it goes with the age and it goes with how effective it's being. And I think you as a parent have to figure that out. And it's okay to go, okay, this isn't working, or I didn't do that right. And, you know, instead of giving up on it, just try to work with it and figure it out. Yeah.
Other questions? Yes.
Just for some ideas, what is maybe a good discipline for an older child who's 11, 12 years old for disrespect? Would it either towards their siblings or their parents? Would it be 10 push-ups or I spank as well. But yeah, now it's at an age where it's like, well, it's more humiliating and it's not working, and you just look at me like, why are you even doing this? So, and same with like going in the corner, or I haven't really come up with a good original idea as far as discipline, and she can pretty much do 10 push-ups or more anyway, so it's not discipline.
I'm just speaking to the sibling stuff, because that usually happens in the daytime when Jer's at work. What I've found really effective lately is, and it usually happens between Cole and Hallie, so them being nasty to each other or whatever, is they stop whatever they're doing, and guess what, guys? It's Cole and Hallie play game time. What? But she's being mean to me, but I'm like, you're in a room and you're not coming out until I hear you guys genuinely getting along. And that really works. And it usually takes about half an hour of, you know, I'm hearing them back and forth. And then they come out an hour later and they've actually just played a game together and had a fun time. So instead of, like, just removing them, which I think is our initial reaction, remove them from the nastiness, I'm like, you guys are, you know, explaining it. When they're that old, you enter in, like, deep, hard conversation with them about what they're doing, how that feels, what they're actually saying. Like, do you understand what you're saying? Do you understand how that makes people feel? And if it's to a sibling, then you put them together and you guys need to learn to work it out, because this is real life. Like, you have to figure out how to get along with people. And if you can't get along, my line, they'll tell you this, if you can't get along with your siblings, guess what? You're not hanging out with anybody else. Because if you can't be nice to your sister, you think you're going to be nice to your neighbor who you want to have come over and play tomorrow? I don't think so. So the sibling thing, that seems to be really effective at the older age. Then that's our kids. I don't know if anybody else has tried that, if that works, but in my mind, that just made sense. Like, I want my kids to learn to get along. I don't want to just break them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they disrespect towards you?
Yeah, disrespecting you, that's... They need to understand that that is wrong. I think when they're 11, 12 years old, they can definitely understand that. And if something like that continues, then maybe a physical discipline needs to take place. And just a reminder, like, this is a serious incident, and this is not something that you do.
Or a serious removal of something.
Yeah, serious removal of something, like... TV, computer, friends, something like that. And then it gets into something a little bit deeper. Yeah. Nicole?
If they're going to disrespect me, then they're going to do something that makes me happy. I've had them clean the whole entire bathroom. They've vacuumed the entire upper floor.
Mm-hmm.
Unload and load dishwashers. You benefit me. Treat me bad, make them work for that.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, and I think that totally makes sense. Like, punishment needs to fit what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So that totally fits. That's, yeah.
Just a clear understanding of disrespect, right? Whether it's you or someone else, that just shouldn't happen. You shouldn't disrespect other people, and more so your family. And that's what really we're teaching our kids a lot right now at this stage in life is this is your family. This is your blood. You don't mess with this is your family, so you don't disrespect this ever. And so that's one of the biggest things for us is we're teaching our kids right now is one of those things, like, for when they're when they're having arguments, when the kids are arguing with each other, it's just we don't do that in our family.
I guess it sounds like
yeah,
up all the time.
No problem.
How would you explain disrespect to child?
To a child with a hand on a bum, right? A child of 11, 12 years old.
Yeah. I tend to lecture, unfortunately, yeah, which is not very good because then it just turns into not something so good. But my intentions are good.
Yeah.
But how do I maybe explain, okay, what you said was disrespectful? Do you, like...
Mm-hmm. Ask them questions. Yeah. I always ask questions to start out, like... How do you think that made me feel?
Okay.
I don't know. Well, how would you feel if someone said that to you? Like, mm-hmm, asking questions is a good way. And then your tone. Like, you can say, you know, the exact same thing in a totally different tone, and they'll hear it, and the other one, they'll just be like, yeah, you know.
You don't want to disrespect them back,
yeah,
too. So it is a teaching thing as well, as not to be in that I'm going to teach you a lesson mentality, like I was saying before. This is a teaching time. Do you, like, I think that question is huge. And say, sweetie, do you know what you just said to me? Can you repeat it? Can you say that in love to me? Because that really hurt me. And really, just really breaking it down for her or for him, and just help them realize that was painful. That really tore me up. So making it real to them in that way. And kids are gracious. They sometimes say things that are straight up mean, right? And we need to let them know that hurts us too, as parents, as mom and dad. So, all right, I think we got this time for the kids are like getting ready to climb out of the walls. But thank you so much for coming again, and we will have more of these, I'm sure, because there is so much more to be parenting. All right.